All right, guys, now we're going to move on to our next segment with our special guest, our first special guest on the Fantasy Fools podcast, Stephen Grasso, who is an American author of detective series set throughout Philadelphia, all sections of Philadelphia. His first book of the series was his debut novel, The Highway, which was published in 2013, which was followed in 2014 by his thrilling, heart-pounding second installment in the series, Divine, and now he's on to discuss his newly released book coming up on October 7th, Those Who Seek, and talk about a little bit of information about himself as well. Stephen, welcome to the show. Happy to have you.
Thank you so much, Jim. Thanks. Thank you, Jim and AJ. I love the show. I love Fantasy Fools, and I listen every week. It's an outstanding show.
Appreciate that. We appreciate that. Another gentleman with the continuing support on our podcast, and we appreciate it greatly. So, Steve, we're going to start off the interview first by a little bit of background information. Tell us a little bit where you're from, your education background. What really inspired you to become an author?
Sure. So, I grew up in South Philadelphia, and I actually currently am getting an MBA. It's just something I've always wanted to do. For like the past 5 years, I've been putting it off, so I decided it was the right time to do it. As far as becoming an author, when I was a kid, maybe 9, 10 years old, I used to write short stories, and now when I look back on it, they were actually in the mystery genre. But I didn't really pick up writing again until my 20s. Played around in a few genres until I settled into mystery, and when I settled into mystery, I just knew, this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
What kind of other genres did you diddle that on?
So I did a little self-help. I did just basic general fiction that was aligned with self-help. But then once I started writing my first mystery novel, it almost came naturally to me.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, we're glad to hear that. Where'd you go to high school in Philadelphia? Just curious.
Sure. I went to Prep Charter. I was actually the second graduating class. The school was really new. So it was a good experience. It was a good school.
That's right. I was the first graduating class from Delaware Valley University.
Really?
Used to be Del Valle College.
We're the first, and they switched
those. They switched to the university. I was the first one. It was actually the first two. I was the first two. I got. I was there for my undergrad and my master's, and I was the first two classes, which is kind of funny.
That's great.
So moving on. I forgot to mention this earlier. Steve actually has visited all 30 Major League Baseball stadiums, which is quite an accomplishment, something that's on my bucket list as well. I think I only have about 4 or 5 under my list. So I'm going to ask you next, Steve. What inspired you to travel to all 30 baseball stadiums?
Sure. So, I grew up in South Philadelphia, less than a mile away from Veterans Stadium. So when I was a kid, my brothers and I, we would watch the games. This was during the 90s with John Kruk, Dave Hollins, Pete Incaviglia. So, when one of them did something well, hit a home run, we would open our front door and we'd hear the cheers from the stadium. So, baseball was always a big part of my life. My brothers and I played. My brothers played through high school. And we used to go down to Veterans Stadiums as kids. This was in the 90s when they really weren't that good, with the exception of 93.
Yeah.
And they practically just let us in the stadiums for free because there was just such a low attendance. So when I was in my early 20s, three of my friends I grew up with, we decided to take a trip to Old Yankee Stadium. And, just to check out the history of the stadium, just the history. Joe DiMaggio, Babe Ruth, they played on these fields. So when we got there, they were playing the Red Sox. We went simply just to an exhibition. And the environment, how intense it was, it reminded me of a Phillies-Mets game. So, it was kind of inspiring just to see competitive baseball during an exhibition. So we started talking after the game. We said, let's try to do all the old stadiums in baseball. So, next up was Wrigley, and such a great experience. Chicago is a great city, so similar to Philadelphia. We saw the Green Ivory, and we headed to Fenway, which was like the defining moment in our journey.
Now, real quick, when you went to Wrigley, did you do the stadiums? Did they have the building seats across the street at that point? Or just the inside seats?
No, well, we actually sat inside.
We sat inside?
You could.
They had both forms?
Yeah,
okay,
sure.
Just curious. I don't even know what year they started doing that with the skyline seats, they call it, I guess.
Yeah.
So I was just curious in that nature. But continue,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, so Fenway was really a defining moment for us because it was 2007. The Phillies were just starting to get good. And if you've never been to Fenway, you have to go to Fenway. It's definitely an experience. The fans are so passionate. And, the history of that stadium was actually built around the same time that the Titanic sank. So, it's got its features. It has the Green Monster. So we were there. We went to the stadium. We got lunch, had a few beers. We were walking around. We came back around the sixth and seventh inning. And when we got to our seats, one of my friends turns around and he looks at us and says, "Do you guys know what's going on?" And Jim, you know, in baseball, that's code for a no-hitter's going.
Yeah.
So, you know, we sat there and it was tense. I mean, we actually, you know, felt like we were Red Sox fans leading up to that ninth inning. And the ninth inning, man, it was great. The whole stadium was cheering. I mean, it was so loud. It got down to two outs and Clay Buchholz just got called up. And he circled the mound. You know, he was nervous. It was top of the ninth. It was like a 1-2 count, I remember. I remember just he threw that curveball in there, and the umpire just calling strike three, and the stadium was insane. We had never seen playoff baseball before that because the Phillies really weren't good with the exception of 93.
Yeah.
So that atmosphere, you know, building up to the Phillies actually making the playoffs that year was really interesting to see. That was a feat. And after that, we said, let's try the East Coast stadiums, which we did. And then before you know, we were on the Midwest and then the West Coast, and we got to all 30.
That's insane. Yeah. That's insane.
Traveled during the best time in Philly's history, so, 2008.
Yeah.
Started in 2008. You think about that.
And it's crazy because that type of environment came to Philly eventually from what would it be, even as early as 06 when they started, 07 to up to 2012.
Right.
Correct. And I've been in a decent amount of stadiums so far. I've been in Shea Stadium.
Great Stadium,
City Field, old and new Yankee Stadium, both Philly stadiums, obviously. I've been in the PNC Park, and I've also been to Fenway. I've never sat on the Green Monster, though. I've always wanted to sit on the Green Monster. It's still on my bucket list, and I still need to get the Wrigley. In my experience, I like PNC Park a lot in Pittsburgh. It's actually very similar to Citizens Bank. It's kind of flipped around,
right.
But they have that golden bridge right in the background. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of sweet looking,
really,
especially
nice.
During the day. I went there on 4th of July, mm-hmm. which was really nice. They were playing the Cubs about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
All right. So that's some pretty good stuff. So you've seen a no-hitter?
So a no-hitter. And think about the odds of that. First time, all four of us, first time we're ever in Fenway Park, we saw a no-hitter.
That's incredible.
Calculate those odds. We said this is fate, man. We have to try to travel to all 30.
That's incredible.
We're all young. You know, we had nothing but time.
And I actually was in person I've seen one no-hitter in my lifetime. Kevin Millwood.
My brother's at that
game. I was at the Kevin Millwood game. And it was incredible. I've also seen Jason Worth hit three home runs in a game.
Wow.
For us when it was against Toronto in the rainstorm.
Wow.
People literally, we were crushing them and everybody just stayed for his fourth at bat. And that was pretty spectacular. And one thing, and I was also at the game for the Aaron Rowan catch when he broke his nose against the Mets when he ran into the wall.
I was there.
Another game where it was pouring and not too many people there. So it's been to a couple good games.
He really won over the fans after that.
Yeah, he really won over the fans. And then we traded him, I think, a year ago, a year later. But hey, it happens. That's the nature of the business.
It is.
All right, so moving on to a little bit about the information about your book, the new upcoming book, Those Who Seek, the third book in this series, what's called your
Benny Steele.
It's Benny Steele series, third book. And so is this going to be the third and final book, or is it going to be?
Oh, no, no, I've already started.
You already started the fourth one?
Book, yeah, fourth novel.
Okay, so if I might add, I noticed that your first two books were within a year, and now you're up to about three. Why the gap? Just wanted to take extra time on it? Or?
Yeah, I had a little more time. In 2013 and 14 while I was writing it. And as I mentioned, now I'm getting the MBA, so you know, I'm kind of juggling the book, the MBA, and work. So that's
MBA at Drexel, correct?
No, actually Gwinn at Mercy.
Gwinn at Mercy.
Yeah.
Gwinn at Mercy. And you just started that this year, correct?
Yeah, I've been in about 8 months.
About
a year ago.
That's good.
Yeah.
And then what are you on schedule to finish that? Within the next year?
Yeah, within the next year.
Within the next year. That's good. Congratulations on that, Steve.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, so if you can give me the overall theme on Those Who Seek. That'd be great, and a little bit of information about maybe the main character as well, what the readers and the listeners can visualize this book being about.
Sure. So I think the main thing that the reader can take away with it is that it's not a simple, you know, a simple thriller. It's more of a character study. So, you know, the characters are relatable, they're genuine, you know, they're deep, they're flawed, you know, they get angry, they get depressed, they're in relationships, their relationships are not always perfect. Sometimes they lose their faith, but I think the overall theme at the end, I always wrap it up, leaving the reader hopeful. You know, so through all their tragedy, they still see the goodness and humanity through it all, even though they doubt it throughout the books, throughout the series.
And speaking about the humanity, we'd like to give our thoughts and prayers out to the Vegas victims as well this past week, or actually a day ago. Very tragic situation happened in America, and we're hoping this country can come together and we get some more peace and some positivity in this world. Absolutely. Just go off your humanity line there. So continue. Sorry.
Yeah. The main character, he's a deep guy. You know, he gets philosophical at times. You know, he questions things, questions everything. He's in a relationship with Marissa. She's actually from South Philly. Okay. And they met on their first case. So they developed a relationship. They actually are engaged to be married in this book.
Was their first date at Tony Luke's?
No. It was actually in Center City.
It was in Center City. Yeah, Where in Center City?
But it was actually in Center City. But they kind of had a pre-date at Citizens Bank Park.
Okay.
So yeah, they just went to a.
There's a Tony Luke's in Citizens Bank Park.
There you go. Maybe. So it was just like a small Italian restaurant in Center City. So they have this relationship, Benny and Marissa, and as I mentioned, it's not always perfect. They have growing pains, but. Many people will be able to relate to these characters. Like I said, it's a character study. The crime story is well developed, the plot's well developed, but it kind of takes a backseat to the characters and the stories, and people can relate to these characters. They're very genuine, very authentic.
That's good. That's good to hear. Now, based off that, are these characters anybody that resembles anybody in your life, you personally, or anything in that nature? Like, I always am curious with authors if these characters are a resemblance of you or somebody that. You wish you may have wanted to be or want to become more part of.
Sure.
So I'm interested in that.
Yeah. So I think there's always a part of you that gets put into your characters. My characters' lives are different than mine. So it's not similar. Maybe some similar traits here and there, some thoughts. But for the most part, I try to make the characters their own people. What I do is I draw from all of my experiences. So, you know, however I take in life, I analyze life, I study people in real life. I like to people watch, I like to listen to people's conversations while they're talking. So I try to just make it a human experience. So I give a little something for all readers so that everybody can relate to the characters. I think you take that away. What the reader can take away is that they can definitely see a part of themselves and their own lives in the characters.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. Especially when I read a decent amount. I'm more of a history fan when I read even nonfiction or fiction history books. But every now and then I mix in a mystery genre as well. Like we were talking off the air a little bit. I used to read Agatha Christie a little bit in high school. So that was kind of interesting in that nature. And then just hearing you talk about the authentic characters that are going to be within your book. It gives the listeners a nice visual of what to expect come Saturday, October 7th. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, I noticed you have here the Phillies and the Eagles play a role in your book.
Yeah.
In what way?
So the main character, Benny Steele, he's a Phillies fan. So as I mentioned that, you know, their first pre-date, Marissa and Benny, was at Citizens Bank Park. But it's just an overall theme throughout. I mean, they get mentioned all the time. Conversations between the characters talk about what happened in the previous Eagles game or they just discuss the Phillies in general. So yeah, much of Philadelphia is included throughout the series. The first book, The Highway, took place in Old City mostly, and then the second book took place in Rittenhouse, and then this one, Those Who Seek, takes place entirely in South Philadelphia. So all of Philadelphia is weaved through all the stories. I mean, they're at Independence Hall, they're at the Rocky statue. It's very Philadelphia based, set throughout the city. So you don't have to be a local to enjoy the story. It definitely enhances your experience because you're familiar with the locale. But if you're not familiar with Philadelphia, you can get a sense of the city just by reading the novels.
And it sounds like you have a decent amount of history actually embedded in it without even realizing, because you talk about the Rocky statue, you talk about the Art Museum, you talk about Old City, which is the historical district. It's nice. It's got a nice little different spin on it as well. I'm very much looking forward to reading this and just giving our listeners an idea of what to come. Steve is generous enough to give us 10 free copies. There are 4 prerequisites to getting these free copies. One will be subscribing to Fantasy Fools on the iTunes, also following us on Twitter at Fantasy_Fools, and also following Steve on Twitter, Steven Grosso on Twitter at Steven Grosso, STEVENGRO. SSO, and then also adding yourself to our Facebook group, The Fantasy Fools, as well. So if you hit those four criteria, we're gonna hit you with a free copy of Those Who Seek. Thanks to the generosity of Steve, and also for him coming on the show as well. So with Steve, with that being said, after discussing your book, I would like to know who your favorite author is and why.
Sure. Hands down, my favorite author is Dennis Lehane. Funny story about that is I actually met him this past summer.
He was really?
It was great.
For those who don't know who Dennis Lehane are, can give us an idea.
So Dennis Lehane, he's a Boston-based author. He's written Shutter Island, Mystic River, Gone Baby Gone.
Shutter Island, which was played by Leonardo DiCaprio?
Yes, with DiCaprio. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I mentioned Gone Baby Gone and The Drop with James Gandolfini's last movie. So, his mystery novels are also character studies. So I could pretty much say he influenced my writing in the sense that when I read his books, I said, wow, these are about, you know, regular everyday people. And, you know, I can do that as well. You know, before I read books and they were like extreme thrillers and sci-fi or things like that. But when I read his books, I learned that I can write that way as well, about people I know and just everyday experiences. So this funny story is that when I met him, it was last minute. He just had a new book released and he was doing a signing at the Free Library of Philadelphia. So I just happened to go on his website and I saw it. So I ran over there and, he spoke for about a half hour, and after we were able to go up and talk to him. So as I got up there, I noticed myself starting to get nervous. I said, why am I getting nervous? I don't understand this. When I got up there, I talked to him, told him he was a great writer. I actually had a couple copies of my book on me. He took a copy of my book. And then I just started, like, I don't know. I couldn't remember what I was saying. I just started, you know, you meet somebody.
A little starstruck.
I never get starstruck. But for some reason, I got starstruck with Dennis Lehane. Really, really genuine. Nicest guy you ever meet. And he encouraged me in my writing. And that was a great story for me. Great, yeah.
That's good.
Great moment as a writer to meet your favorite writer.
So you kind of met your idol as far as...
If you're a basketball player and you meet Michael Jordan, I'm sure you're going to get a little starstruck.
Yeah, it happened. It happened. If I ever met Gronk, I'd be the same way.
That's what I'm saying.
All right, so that's pretty cool stuff right there, Steve. Yeah. All right, so lastly, we're going to end the interview with a little Eagles prediction this Sunday against the Cardinals. Give me a score and how they end the season, if there's playoffs in the future.
Oh, I got to go Eagles. I mean, they're playing really well. I'm gonna say 24-17 Eagles, and I predict they go 10-6 this season.
Well, 10-6, that's 10-6 is a good playoff number.
10-6 is a playoff number. I think they have enough to make the playoffs. Wentz is a great quarterback. He's young. I think they're heading in a good direction going forward for the future.
Yeah, future is definitely bright for them. We're very much looking forward to it.
Great.
All right. Thank you again, Steve. We really appreciate you coming on the Fantasy Fools with us. You have any last comments?
Jim Major, I really want to thank you for having me. If listeners want further details on my books, they can check out StephenGrasso.com. Again, big fan of Fantasy Fools. Outstanding. You guys do great every single week. Looking forward to listening to you guys.
We appreciate it, Steve. We appreciate it. We are looking forward to how your book does. And again, we're giving away 10 free copies. I want to make that very clear. The book is released on October 7th of this year, which is on Saturday. Please, if you subscribe on iTunes to our podcast, again, The Fantasy Fools, and then follow us on Twitter at @Fantasy_Fools, and then follow Steve on Twitter as well at Steven Grosso, StevenGrosso. And then join our Facebook group, The Fantasy Fools. You hit those four. First 10 to hit those four, you get a free copy of Those You See from your South Philly native, Steven Grosso. Thank you, guys, and we appreciate you again, Steve.
Thank you, Jim.